Welcome to the stream. I'm Ahmed Shahabuddin. Today, I'm delighted to be talking to Mohammed Amer, a Palestinian-American comedian who stars in the new hit series Mo on Netflix. Now, I know those of you who've seen it have a lot of questions for Mo yourself, so here is your chance to ask him. Share them with us on YouTube. The new hit comedy show is inspired by some of the challenges and traumas that Mo faced in his own life. He also lost his father at a young age, was forced to flee to the U.S. from Kuwait during the first Gulf War, and navigated the U.S. immigration system as a refugee. The show is a critical success, to say the least, making waves for portraying an ordinary Palestinian-American family, and in doing so, humanizing them, something that's never really been done before on TV. Check out this trailer.
Assalamu alaikum.
No, we don't have to do that.
Great to see you. Yeah, right. Hey, you can keep your shoes on, Mo.
No, that's gross.
Oh, okay. Well, come on in.
Yeah. What is doing, folks? I'm just riding in the Chevy with the roof low.
How you doing, brother? Let me show you something.
Why do you need to sell that crap?
Selling merch is the only thing I can do without papers. I need to support my family. Petrol Motion. It's my last one. Islam is real practical. It's hard to G-O-D anytime.
You should go to church with me someday.
What is the Trinity, though? Please explain it to me.
What's el Padre, el Hijo, el Espíritu Santo? Amen, el Padre, el Hijo, el Espíritu Santo.
No, astaghfirullah, don't do that. Aleph theft is a huge problem.
Now, where's that?
Palestine?
Damn, that's a couple hours away.
No, not Palestine, Texas.
Israel, man. Israel.
Oh, shalom.
Yeah, it's a real branding issue.
Please welcome to the show from Houston, Texas, Mo Amer, co-creator and star of Mo. Mo, thanks so much for being with us. I don't think I've ever said Mo so many times in my life, Mo. Mo money, Mo problems, just like Palestine on the show. Man, it's so great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me. Really a pleasure to be on.
I have to ask you, just from the get-go, I want to give you an opportunity for our audience who may be living under a rock, they've never heard of the show, they don't know you. What's this show really about? To me, it was clear it's a labor of love, to say the very least. What's it about to you?
Sure. The show is about belonging. It's about what a result of statelessness, people assimilating in America, fish out of water, somebody who's been struggling, trying to fit in and take care of their family, while also losing themselves spiritually along the way. I mean, it's very complex. There's so many layers to it, to be honest. There's origin stories to unpackage as well. The mother story, my story, my brothers, my sisters, my fathers. There's so much to talk about generational displacement. It's a lot. It seems like it's an immigrant show, but it really is for everyone. Anyone who has experienced struggle, yeah, that has gone on life living paycheck to paycheck, trying to take care of their families, trying to live up to their expectations, their family's expectations, but along the way sacrificing a lot, including their spiritual wellness, their mental health, their actual health, their physical health. So it's the show is very complex, and it is a comedy. You know, it's hard whenever you start describing the show. People are like, is this going to be funny? It's like, yes, it is going to be very funny. It is also going to be very, very, serious at times.
Very, very real, very raw, very authentic. And I think, the comedy hits harder because, the tragedy is so strong. And I don't want to get bogged down in the tragedy, but something that you said, is about a real family with real problems that have been displaced over generations. But in a lot of ways, for as much as it's about Palestine, it's also about Houston. It felt in some ways like Houston, this place that you were raised, essentially, mm-hmm, as a big character in the series. Was that intentional?
Absolutely, it was intentional. It was completely by design. Houston is the most diverse city in America. The A-Leaf, the neighborhood, the suburb of Houston that we film most of the series in is 80 languages spoken in it alone. There's no zoning in Houston, so everybody's literally next to each other. You'll have a Vietnamese restaurant next to an African food spot, next to a Mexican church, next to a, Arab bakery. Like, it's that kind of town and suburb. So, and it's such a big exporter of music and talent, from Lizzo to Megan Thee Stallion to Beyonce to Travis Scott, Robert Glasper. I mean, before that, Bun B, Paul Wall. I can keep going. The list is really long. Toby, who's blowing up right now, Nigerian background, my co-star in the show. It just is a really unique neighborhood. It's something in the water here. And it really was shocking to me that never in Houston's history has it had a narrative sitcom filmed out of here. So it was a, you know, a no-brainer and a deal breaker if we couldn't do it.
And that's what's so beautiful, you know, for as much as it's being celebrated that this is the first time we have this, you know, Palestinian family, a Palestinian narrative in this depth. As you just said, the same could be said maybe about Houston. And I think that's what's makes it so palpable to me. I want to share with you a video that was sent to us by a fan, someone who has a lot to say about what you've accomplished with this series. Take a listen.
Thank you so much for representing Palestinian culture in the way that you did. Other than something that's always seen as just struggle and heartbreak, I think people got to see us for who we really can be, which is just like everybody else. And I think It's a Branding Issue was the most genius comedic line to summarize everything that we go through as Palestinians and our struggle. But honestly, when the credits rolled at the end and every name was Arab, was Palestinian, was just there to be seen, I had never felt more proud, especially at a time when I'm going into the film industry, I'm going into the comedy industry, and it's people like you, it's people like the cast and crew that made this show come to life.
How does it make you feel hearing these things? I know Grace isn't the only one saying that to you. I mean, yeah. How do you feel?
I have chills, man. I have chills, Ahmed. Like, you know, when I first started stand-up as a teenage kid in the mid-90s, yeah, you know, it was just me in the South, touring the South as a Muhammad in Texas or Louisiana or Arkansas or New Mexico, what have you. So it felt really lonely. And to see the reception, first of all, across the board, to be so well-received, and that it's inspiring people and it's hitting people a certain way, honestly, it's going to take years to truly see the impact and to really, like, soak it in completely. At this moment right now, I'm just looking around like, is this real? Like, it's really surreal, and you have to pinch yourself. But I couldn't be more proud, and that's what I did when I was creating the show, and building it out and casting the show and writing it out. And every part of it, there's not one second of the series that is not with purpose. Like, every part of it was well thought out. I mean, one of the only criticisms I received from a Palestinian mom, she was like, the pita bread is not steamy. I'm like, you know, okay. Well, if that's the only thing I missed, then I'm so grateful for that. But it's huge. It's absolutely huge. And I just don't know what to say. I'm overwhelmed by it. It makes me emotional to see that because I know what it feels like to be alone out there and, right, and not feel seen. And it's just such a privilege that I get to bring it to everyone.
And that's what this really is about, right? It's about that search for belonging, that not only wanting to be seen, but seen in the true essence of that word, you know, in your entirety, in your complexity. I think, you know, a lot of people are sending us comments on YouTube, but before I get to them, I want to just ask you, I mean, you know, The portrayal of Palestinians in this is, at least to me, seems deliberately not focused on the tragedy. Something that I think too often, with all the misrepresentation, whether in the news or media, is what's associated with that. Was that deliberate, and why was that important, if it was to you?
You know, it was important just to focus on the characters and the story. So the story is really grounded in my DNA and my experience of coming here as an asylee, waiting to get my citizenship for 20 years, and what was that like? And I think that too many times that you'll see something that's like tragedy-based, or, you know, it's like a family floating to another country, are they going to make it? Not. This is just really focused on the characters and what they go through. And I think it makes it way more relatable. And it's like FUBU, but the difference is FUBU is for us, by us. This is Fufi. This is for us, for everyone. You know, like, it has to be completely relatable. And the way to do that is to focus on the characters, to focus on the story, and make sure that you give it time and allow it that breathing room so it can be what it is. Like, it's a story about belonging and feeling like you're less than and you want to be equal to the person next to you. So it was just really important to just keep honing in on the characters from episode to episode and digging deeper and deeper into each person.
Yeah, and we do get to go so deep, even though it's still season one. And my sense is that there's a promise of a lot more depth to come with each character and the complexities of this world that you're in. Go ahead. You were going
to
say
something? I want to add something that just came because I was getting lost to it. And I didn't want to make it a hyper-political show as well.
Like, right.
So many cases, you get lost in that. And politics are deeply personal to people. Mm-hmm. And the relatability is everything. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, like, I love the Nazir Abba character, where you have a Palestinian Christian and you have, which was also a forgotten thing,
right,
which is really upsetting, really, that there's Palestinian Christians that exist. And that's completely lost in the conversation. And also, like, these relationships exist too, where they can be deeply passionate about their views, argumentative, and just like going at each other. But at the same time, when the waiter comes over, you want something to drink, he's concerned. He's like, "Dude, would you like sugar with your coffee or not, or your tea or not?" You know. So to show that compassion and that relationship is also really important. Just because you have heated conversations doesn't mean you can't be friends.
Right.
And historically, my mother's told me so many stories of my grandfather having friends with people across the board, both Christian and Jewish, and that was really important for me as well. To have in a series. This is a story about unification. It's not something that's intended to divide us. This is the opposite. I've had enough of this division, quite frankly, and I know a lot of people feel the same. Yeah. So I just wasn't going to have that in the series as well.
No, and I think in such polarized times, you know, coming out of the Black Lives Matter movement and everything that's happened in the last few years in the U.S. context with President Trump, it really feels like it's not a coincidence that, maybe it is, but that this show is coming out at this time, you know, really cemented in Black culture in Houston, cemented in this solidarity that we've seen the last couple years with Palestine. I don't think things are necessarily coincidences. But for our audience who might be like, what are these two guys talking about? Let's give them a little clip about your portrayal of stateless, let's say second generation statelessness. Take a look.
Statelessness is now, you know, generational. And there's so many different layers to immigration and different ways to get your citizenship, different paths to that, whether it be through marriage, going through the asylee process. And that was part of the story that I wanted to tell, which is authentic to my experience, and there's much more to tell.
22 years we've been telling ourselves everything's gonna be fine. Well, it's never gonna happen.
Hey, do you think me and your dad sat out there feeling sorry for ourselves? We carry on. It is who we are.
We carry on. I mean, kind of a theme, a message in the show. That really hit me when I saw that moment for so many reasons. I want to ask you, off the back of that, I mean, the depiction of the U.S. immigration system, you make a lot of social commentary in this, but the U.S. immigration system, I mean, it's as hilarious as it is heart-wrenching. I'm curious, how was that born from your own lonely experience navigating that?
Well, I mean, the ending of episode 7 is exactly what happened to us. You know, there's a lot of it that was in the series. You'll see it's copy paste of the experience, and of course, we fictionalize along the way. But it's a really complex one where people think that you come migrate to America. Here we go; these asylees or refugees are coming, and they're going to just become U.S. citizens overnight. That's not how it happens. It takes years to get a hearing, so in some cases, even more. And then by the time you get a granted asylum, it takes you 5 years to get your green card, and it takes you another 5 years before you can file for your citizenship. So you can imagine. So you're looking at minimum 10-plus years before you become a U.S. citizen. And meanwhile, you're working. You are, you know, contributing. You're paying your taxes, but you don't have any rights like everyone else does. And it puts you in a really tough situation where it almost forces you to do things under the table. And it forces you to do illegal things you don't want to do. And I think that's overall the biggest beef I have with the system, that not only is it moved too slow, but it puts people in really bad situations to where they're forced to do illegal things potentially, which it goes against their nature. It goes against their moral character. It goes against how they were raised. Or the system is set up in a way to where it makes it easy to submit to those things.
And, you know, I don't want to keep kind of hammering the point, but for as much as this is a Palestinian story, it's a story about immigration, it's an American story, you know, it's so many different things. And what I think was so compelling and effective for a group of people that have been marginalized in the media and in the mainstream, you know, especially in Hollywood, You kind of made it seem like the Palestinian narrative was kind of part and parcel or like in tandem with other realities in the American experience, whether brown or black working class people. Do you attribute that to a success in the show? Is that just naturally who you are? Was it intentional? Was there a lot of strategy in how to present this story?
No, it is really natural to who I am. And it's not something that was calculated. It's just how I live my life. My friend group is a well-rounded, mixed group of individuals. And it was just easy to take it that way. I mean, like I said, A-Leaf and Houston being one of the most diverse cities in America, and 80 languages spoken alone in A-Leaf, it's how I grew up and it's how I was raised. And I think that any time that people think of a particular experience, it's just like compartmentalized to that ethnic group, which is wrong. It's universal. Everyone goes through the same issues, and to just put it in a bucket, I don't think it's fair. And it's also not accurate. And if I filmed something in A-Leaf where it was just Arabs, that's also not accurate.
Right.
You know, that's not how it works here. Like, you walk into a particular business that's owned by Arabs, I guarantee you they speak Spanish. Right. Or they speak another language that they communicate with their community. It's very much that way. And I remember there was an Arab man that I worked for that when I was a teenager that you know, had a ledger for people that couldn't afford certain things. It became a community. It's like, oh, you come here, you take care of it, get whatever you need, and God bless, no problem. Like, it was that way, and it's still that way to this day.
You know, we have a lot of people on YouTube asking questions and making comments. So many people reacting positively, not just to the trailer, but to the show. Mothra is saying, have you experienced writer's block, and how do you move past it? I mean, I can imagine you've spent, what, a decade writing this?
Yeah, I wrote the flashback in episode 7 in December, sometime in 2014. I think it was like early December 2014. So it's been a while. It's been a long time. But yeah, of course you experience writer's block. And it's not about, for me, the writer's block came from, you know, the emotionality. Like, where does this fit and where does that go? And it wasn't about like a shortage of content, because there was a lot of story to unpackage. It's about how you parse it out for it to be a well-balanced season one, to where you feel connected, and we gave every character and piece of drama or comedy time to breathe. That's the really hardest part of the whole thing. And if you're going through, it seems like whenever you do something so big, you know, you're going to be challenged personally with something deeply emotional. And that happened to me a lot. And it was great challenges. I'm grateful for them. I'm better for them. And you just got to work through it. You know, you got to have, like, in episode 3 where my friends are trying to tell me I need therapy, I highly recommend it. You know, I highly recommend you spilling your guts out to someone that can help you navigate this crazy world we live in.
It's just incredible hearing you kind of talk about that process, because I rarely have seen a show that is, let's say, new or innovative in its structure, what it's about, that has been so well-received. I mean, what is it, 100%? I have it right here. On Rotten Tomatoes, 100%, the critics' ratings. I mean, I've seen it covered everywhere. I don't want to overstate it, Moa, but, you know, is this something you would have thought of when you were doing stand-up? That transition from stand-up to now this series, I mean, was that always, when you were a kid, in the back of your mind? Like, this feels like a culmination that could really be transformative for your career, but also for storytelling in Palestinians.
Yeah, no, it was constantly on my mind. Stand-up is my first love. I have 2 shows tonight. Like, that's going to be there for me forever. Storytelling in general, that's why I fell in love with stand-up. Now, translating that to film or television is a completely different animal, but they're all related in how you tell the story, how you visualize it, and how you put that up cinematically, and how you want to display that to the world. But it's always been there. It's something that's a deep passion of mine, and I was never, like, as far as like the 100% Rotten Tomatoes and the audience score being the 90 percentile plus. Yeah. It's I don't know what to say. I'm just so thrilled. I'm so happy. And also, like, hard work does pay off.
Right.
And it's something that my friend told me that, you know, Chappelle is the one who eased me about this, because he was like, you worked so hard on this. I saw you. Like, you haven't stopped. and you left it all on the field. You have to trust the work. And once he told me that, it really put me at ease. I'm like, yeah, there's literally not 1 second in each episode that I, you know, took for granted. And so you have to trust the work at some point. I think people who are most nervous usually have not done all that they could do.
Yeah.
And I did feel that way. And I'm just blessed that it's received that. It doesn't mean like it was going to be received well, I definitely felt calm. Like I did everything I could.
You know?
Like, I don't know how much else I could have done. And I'm just blessed to have such a great team, you know, around me that helped bring this to life.
And Mo, you've inspired so many people, so many storytellers. I have people stopping me being like, could you tell Mo as if I like have a speed dial to you? But it's incredible to me that's happened. And I wonder, has this at all shifted for you what it means to be successful? You've had so much success in so many different ways. This feels like a new realm. What does success mean to you? Is it that 100% certified fresh?
It's a great bonus. It's a great bonus for that to happen. I'm not going to pretend like it's not in a world that we live in. But to me, the success is when my mom is getting WhatsApp messages of the show and they don't know she's my mother. You know, that is that when people are, to me, that's like a foreigner's success. It's like when your mom is getting inundated with WhatsApp messages and they don't know that I'm her son. It's really a beautiful thing when people are resonating. When I got a video of people chanting my name in the streets when Dom was performing in I forgot what city they were in. Don't know what city was in Palestine. It was just them chanting my name. It just like people when I meet them and they're just like in emotional about how they feel about the show and their connection to me. That is like true success. You know, that to me is everything. To have that, I went to a fight, the Andy Ruiz fight. Andy's a friend, and he invited me to the match, and I was the first time I went outside.
Yeah.
I was kind of like having some altitude sickness after I dropped the show. I was feeling anxious, and it was my first public appearance, and Mexicanos were walking up to me like, you're one of us! Mo, you're one of us! I'm like, this is incredible. This is a different thing.
Yeah,
we struck a nerve that where people feel seen, where their stories are being told, and the vehicle just happens to be a Palestinian family. And man, I get deeply emotional thinking about it. It's crazy.
No, and I know. And
it's a privilege,
It's a beautiful thing, and it's not lost on anybody, I think, who is understanding of the social fabric of the U.S. in this moment. After the last few years, without getting political about it, it's. I know you're all about emotions. You're all about the jokes, but if you look at the comedy and your series, it all comes down to feelings and emotions. That's what's so beautiful. We have a comment from Arij Makati. It's a video comment. Take a listen to what she said.
Pillars Fund recently supported a study by USC Annenberg Inclusion Initiative, which showed that Muslims are most likely to be seen on screen as victims or perpetrators of violence, meaning that we're really underrepresented in comedy, even though we're hilarious. The thing that I love about what Mo's show does is not shy away from the incredibly important to address systemic issues that Muslims and Arabs face every day in the United States, while still acknowledging that we as marginalized people deserve frivolity too, that our laughter and our love and our humanity is what allows us to survive and thrive under really difficult situations.
Surviving and thriving. Well, as someone who's thriving, a lot of people asking me, ask him about season 2. Is it happening? And what are you excited about? Quickly.
Well, I'm moving confidently like it will. I have not gotten confirmation yet. We're waiting on the news. But I'm already building it out of my mind. And it's so much more story to tell. I'm excited.
Incredible. And just quickly, before we wrap, Black Adam, how are you feeling about that?
I mean, I forget that I'm in a superhero movie with The Rock.
You're in a superhero movie with The Rock. It's amazing.
Yes, it's incredible. What an amazing experience to work with him, and the entire cast is phenomenal. Pierce Brosnan, my hero. What a crazy time. What a blessing. I'm not taking it for granted. And it's such
amazing.
A beautiful thing. And by the way, if everybody's wondering, yes, I'm visiting my mother. This is classic.
A mama classic design. Painting in the background.
Mama
I love
classic.
It. Mo, I want to thank you for joining us on this show. I want to thank you also for inspiring so many people with your authentic storytelling. And, keep it up. And thanks for joining us. For those of you at home, this is our show for today. Join us next time.